morning. It is morning huddle time. I'm Chad Prinky here alongside Stacey Holzinger, as always.
The nature of the beast is the competitive nature of the industry.
Is if you can see it, you can be it.
It's all about the people. The people are what make it great and worthwhile.
Yeah, anything that I think helps build the story behind the company is great.
These are the things that that you're like, we don't need that because we have plenty of work right now. Got it. But if you don't do it now, where are you going to have work in the future? The Morning Huddle Construction Show is fortunate to have 5 sponsors for Season 7, helping us to spread the word and create positive change in the construction industry. And we want to give a shout out to each of them and thank them now. First is Katz Abosch. This is a middle market accounting firm with a deep specialization in construction, tax, audit, accounting, fantastic group of people. Next is Lawrence Law. This is a boutique law firm that works with contractors and helps them with their day-to-day legal needs as well as all of their most significant legal challenges that they might run up against. Lawrence Law. Then we have Sandy Spring Bank, which is a regional bank in Maryland, with a group of people who really understand what the needs of construction businesses are and who partner with you to achieve your financial aims. So Sandy Spring Bank. And then we have Marsh McLennan Agency, bonding and insurance professionals who really just have unparalleled insight into the construction industry. They're the best in the business. And then lastly, we have Genesis AEC. And Genesis is a full service architecture, engineering, and construction management firm with a deep specialization in the life sciences industry. We also happen to have some of their folks help us with guest hosting from time to time.
Good morning. It is morning huddle time. Chad Prinky here alongside Stacey Holzinger, like always. Hey, Stacey, it's good to see you again. I missed you.
I know. It's been a while, and we're both feeling under the weather, but we're trucking along.
Well, who's not? I mean, if I run into somebody right now that's not dealing with something or just recently dealt with something, I'm like, Prinky, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're joining us from Vegas today, too.
I am. It's dark and early here in Vegas, and I'm actually out here for the ABC National Conference, which will be cool. I'm doing a talk tomorrow about my book. Sharing the message of, you know, which for those of you who don't know about the book, it's called Well Built. And the book is really, it's about my attempt to bring order and replicable structure to what I've seen the top performing construction companies doing to create superior profits and value, business valuations and overall client excellence with their operations. So that is I'm out here talking about that book. The book clicked over 5,000 sales, which is awesome. So we're
congrats.
We're humming. Things are going great.
Yeah. So I'll be on a panel next week with Genesis and Merck for celebrating Women in Construction Week. So nice. I'm excited to get out there. So I'll miss Tuesday with Jennifer, and Jennifer's such a great guest. So
she'll carry me. It'll be fine. Yeah.
She has that voice.
She does. That'll be nice. Well, today I'm really excited about our guest. So today we have we're bringing in Hannah Williams, and this is one of those things that you'll see. You may know Hannah from, if you're anywhere on the internet, if you're anywhere on any
TikTok
of the social
and
media
Instagram
platforms. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for making time for me and trucking through. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. No, we're I'm it's one of those things like, it would have to be really bad for me to stop doing the things that I like to do. So
yeah, I get that.
I'm happy to be here. So Hannah is the founder of Salary Transparent Street, and Salary Transparent Street is let me stop mirroring so that looks awesome for our viewers.
Oh, thanks.
Boom. There you go.
There we go. Wait, which way do I go? That way.
Now you don't know which way to go. So Salary Transparent Street has got like the coolest viral content that I've seen aimed at professionals, you know, aimed at working age people and stuff like that. So, you know, Stacey brought it to my attention. She was like, I, you know, Hannah's going to come on our show. And I was like, dude, I love her stuff. It's so great. And I got to tell you, Hannah, that's saying something because I really don't pay attention to what's going on social media.
I'm honored. Thank you.
It broke through is my point. It broke
the ceiling.
And LinkedIn's a home run for you. I mean, I feel like it really is. LinkedIn is you know, and that's the only social that I even know how to navigate.
Yeah.
So
yeah, ever since they rolled out that video feed, it's just been game changer for us. Yes. We're getting millions of views there in ways that we're not receiving on Instagram and TikTok, which I just can't wait until they allow me to monetize.
Yeah, right. Yeah, LinkedIn doesn't play like that. LinkedIn's like, we can get you the viewers, we can get you the eyeballs, but you gotta, you know, you gotta. It's so. What do you talk a little bit about your vision? Like, what do you do? Paint the picture. I mean, I can talk about the content, but I would love for you to.
For sure. Yeah. So our channel is called Salary Transparent Street. The gist of it is I go out and I talk to strangers on the street around the country about what do they do for a living and how much do they make? That's very high level. But, you know, I get into how many years of experience do they have? How did they get to that point in their career? What career advice do they have? And the result is these really quick hit interviews with, you know, real people about their careers that we post on social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, and I believe Threads now, not Twitter. And we share this to our community. We've got over 3 million followers across all those platforms, and we've been doing this for nearly 3 years. We're going to hit 3 years in April this year.
Wow. Awesome. Okay, cool. So what inspired you to get in, like, to start doing this? What was the motivation?
Yeah, great question. I found out I was underpaid. That's basically how I got here. Before becoming a content creator, I actually had no background in media or entertainment. I used to be a senior data analyst supporting government contracts outside Washington, D.C. I was making $90,000 a year and realized that people in my role were making well into the six figures. I was underpaid about $20,000 to $25,000 based on my research. I started looking for a new job after my current company told me they couldn't raise my salary as high as I was expecting to be paid. And in my first interview with a recruiter, the recruiter asked me, "What are your salary requirements?" And I just had this light bulb moment where I was like, why are recruiters asking us to judge or guess what their budget is? How am I supposed to know that? I can do all the research in the world, but at the end of the day, there's still a huge power imbalance between employees and employers, especially in the hiring process. And what's really lacking there is transparency. We live in a world, especially in the world of work, where secrecy is so prevalent that none of us know what we should be making or if we are well compensated because the information's not out there. So it was a really simple concept that inspired me. Being underpaid and realizing that there was a lack of information, I decided to go out and get that information myself on the street.
Wow, that's awesome. And you were like, I'm gonna take his camera with me because I bet you I'm not alone.
I got my husband with me. I was like, come on, I'll get you some coffee. Like, we'll make a fun day of it. And it turned into his full-time job as well. We both do this full-time now.
No way.
Mm-hmm. It's the best job.
And how much you make? No, I'm joking. I don't need to
know. I'm happy to answer that. I put it all out there. Our business has made for 2 years in a row now over $1 million of gross revenue. And I pay myself now, I believe I'm at $250,000 and my husband is also on salary at $100,000, but he's part-time. So I don't want to hear any, he's underpaid.
Yeah. Well, he's also not the talent. I mean, let's be clear. You know, he's behind the camera. It's an important job. It's just not the talent.
Exactly.
No, that's outstanding. Good for you. Congratulations. Thanks. What a cool story.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's a dream to be here.
Well, it's great. So what's next for you? Like, you know, so you've been, you're out there, you're interviewing people, you're pumping out these videos that two questions in one. What has been the most validating or emotionally fulfilling experience of all of this for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then my next question right on the back of it is like, where are you taking this thing from here?
Yeah, I guess I have two parts for the first one, like what's been the most emotionally fulfilling for me. One bit is just speaking with people on the street. I've spoken with HR, I've spoken with recruiters, I've talked with, you know, business owners, and they also support pay transparency. It's not just, you know, employees that are, you know, trying to make more. It's also leaders in the business world and those that are determining what these cultures at work are going to look like. So getting their feedback and them telling me that their work, our work is important and it's influencing their work as well, that tells me I'm doing the right thing. My work actually has impact. It's not just viral. You know, I don't care about the views. I care about how is this helping people. So knowing that this is actually being implemented in workplaces, that people are watching our videos and using it to advocate for themselves, I mean, home run. I've done my job. But the other part of that, I think on a grander scale, is also seeing legislation take into effect, pay transparency. So I have my notes here because there are a lot of laws and I don't want to miss any states that have come out with new things. But when we launched Salary Transparency Street back in 2022, there were only a couple states that had pay transparency laws, including California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada. Those were pretty common, but there's been way more states in recent years that have passed pay transparency laws, including Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New York, Washington, D.C., and Washington State. And this year, New Jersey, Vermont, and Massachusetts have pay transparency laws going into effect. Why this matters to me is it's the greatest honor, I think, of my career. But both all three, Maryland, Virginia, and DC, not a state, I know, but a state in my mind, yeah. All three of those reached out to us to testify in support of their bills, literally in front of legislature, in front of congressmen and such. And so that was the biggest highlight, I think, of my career, is that we were able to translate something that we created on social media and be taken seriously enough to come into a courtroom and influence legislation that impacts workers around the country. So that is the best. And also since then, we thought that there was going to be a huge slowdown in pay transparency after the election, you know, that there might be a little bit of a pause, but that is not what's happening. There are several states that have proposed pay transparency laws this year, including Alaska, Connecticut, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, Montana, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Virginia, again, because it was our governor didn't pass it at the last minute, but also West Virginia. So if you've heard your state there, you might be getting pay transparency legalized.
So talk about what pay transparency laws in general, what are they doing? Talk about what is a pay transparency law? And maybe there are different flavors for different states.
There sure are. There's a different state for a different flavor for every state. So I highly recommend that you go do your due diligence and look up what your state is themselves proposing or have passed. But the gist of it is, on average, most of these legislation acts allow or require companies to include pay ranges in job descriptions. They can go as far as job descriptions internally and externally. So not just, you know, on LinkedIn and Indeed, but also within the company, that it can be pay transparency listed on transfers. It can be pay transparency just listed for every job in the company. Every state is different, but at the end of the day, workers are getting more information in their pockets and that's helping them earn more.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That makes total sense. Okay. So, Stacey, this is like your jam.
I have some burning questions.
I'm sure you do. I want to throw the ball to you. I'm going to start talking about construction and from an owner's perspective and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But okay, cool.
No, for the construction industry, I think the biggest thing is, so for the unions, I grew up in Philly, so very union. Everybody in my family, friends were union. And the biggest takeaway I got from my buddies and friends in the union is they love that everything's, you know, transparent. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is, if you have a foreman with the same amount of years and you're busting your ass on the job, and the other person's getting paid exactly the same, but they're taking all these breaks, you know, and then on the merit shop, it's based on performance, but they're so, like, they don't want to be transparent about their salary.
Oh.
And they don't want to publish that on job descriptions. they have me do a lot of their job descriptions and pushing out, you know, job opportunities and recruitment and stuff like that. And I'm always telling them, if you don't post the salary, they're not even going to look at you.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you can speak on that to try to encourage them, like mm-hmm. how important it is to be transparent on that. And I don't know the fear behind that, Chad. I don't know if you can chime in.
Yeah,
with that.
I will yeah. after the answer though, because okay. I do want to. All I do is work with owners of construction companies on their bottom lines, right? And mm-hmm. so I can absolutely speak to that end. But sell these owners, Hannah. Sell these owners. Why should they be doing it?
Pay transparency is the future. If in 5 or 10 years, your job does not include how much the candidate can be making, how much they're expected to work, what they can expect their work environment to look like, how many days off they get per year, all of that, you're going to drastically reduce the candidates that apply to the job, probably by over 50%. I would say very confidently. It's not only just the expectation of younger generations like Gen Z and up and coming Gen Alpha, but older generations like Gen X and boomers are also starting to see the value of pay transparency as legislation has started to come out. So it's not only a generational thing, it's just a fairness thing. Pay transparency allows workers to understand what the transfer is of their work. What are they getting at the end of the day? I think that a lot of worker sentiment towards pay has been influenced recently by the economy and what a lot of us have lived through in the United States with rising costs, cost of living, housing, grocery costs. And so it would be really nice. It'd be a wonderful world where we can meet in the middle with owners of these companies and say, yeah, pay isn't the most important, but that's not the reality. It is incredibly important. And I think we're telling ourselves a lie if we say that, you know, the value of the work or what it brings me means more to me than putting food on the table for your family at the end of the day.
Okay. So to summarize, you're not going to be competitive if you don't do this. Everybody is, people are moving toward this. So you better figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. It's about fairness and equity. If you also have pay transparency, you reduce a lot of potential discrimination at the job. You improve equity. You increase trust. I've heard from a lot of business leaders who are against pay transparency that they're worried that it'll cause drama in the workplace. It'll cause fighting. And I see what you said about in a performance-based system that the pay isn't transparent because then you're going to have people say, well, I make less, but I work harder, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to validate that, especially when, you know, we all feel like we work harder.
Yeah. It's sort of subjective. Yeah,
exactly. But I would stress that it's so important to be transparent and communicate with your team, not just about pay, but about how you determine their pay. A lot of workers, if you ask them today, do you know why you are paid what you are paid? Like, do you mm-hmm. know what the next step is? Do you know what this role is worth? They'll tell you no, they do not understand. And managers also don't feel confident based on a recent survey. I don't remember where it was, but a lot of managers also don't feel confident explaining that to their workers. So there's a lot of lack of just communication there from the higher ups to lower down to explain mm-hmm. how the system works, how pay is determined. But if you figure that out and you communicate it, that's a fair system.
Mm-hmm. So how would you, and is it okay if I start throwing just hardballs? Is
that sure. all right? I'll do my best.
All right. So how would you respond to someone who may, essentially say, look, labor's a market. Mm-hmm. Just like any market, my goal is to buy labor for as cheap as I can possibly buy it. That's my mission. So if I'm able to buy labor cheaper, that doesn't make me a bad person. Matter of fact, it makes me a good business owner, right? If mm-hmm. I'm able to find and if people are willing to come and work for me, and take less, what's the downside there? You know, how would you respond to that?
I hear you, and I understand why it's so tempting to really lean into that thinking that this is just a smart business decision. But we also have to understand where we are at in the political climate and how that's going to affect workers and jobs. You want the cheapest labor, it's not very smart to be deporting a lot of people that are the cheapest labor. There's going to be a lot less cheap labor available. I'm not getting political here, but if you deport a lot of the cheap labor, you're going to have people who are going to ask for the most. You know, you're going to have the union workers left and they are protected. We need to support our unions. And so I would say to business leaders, sure, you know, making those decisions is the best for your bottom line, but is it the best for American workers? No.
Lot to unpack on that one. There's a lot. I've got to resist, you know, charging down any number of those side streets.
Same.
But there's a lot there. Let me shift gears for a minute. What about bonus compensation? Is bonus compensation something that is touched by these transparency laws?
Not always. Some states have really far reaching where it does include bonuses. It includes, you know, any type of promotion, anything like that. But the majority of states, it's just, you know, that base pay range where it's, you know, what the issue that a lot of like in New York City, they say that you should list the best faith range. So like what you can expect to pay. So it would be up to the owner's discretion or the business owner's discretion if they want to include that information within the range. I'd say a lot of them just include the base pay for that. But, you know, it would always help to include what that bonus is. The more transparency, the better. And people are really motivated by pay lately.
Right on. Stacey, sorry. Keep going.
You're fine. I was going to ask about bonuses and like if you have to list benefits and things like that.
Some do, yeah, but some don't.
Can you talk more about your job board and your salary database? Asking because a lot of construction worker or construction companies, they're specifically posting on Indeed, working with recruiters and LinkedIn, and they're we have a huge workforce shortage. That's why we did ChatC Team. Our mission is just to attract people to the trades because they left or we got rid of shop classes back in the 70s and 80s. So like they just think college is the only. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and you talk about the trades a lot on your platform. So I just wanted to see your experience there. What are people like hot topics, what are they talking about as far as trade careers and how your job board and salary database all intertwine with that?
Yeah, no, I love the trades, which is why I'm so excited to be here. But I think that they need a lot more attention. Like you said, there are less classes out there in schools right now that teach people these skills. But there's also this constant push for people to go to college. And what we're seeing now, I'm interviewing people who have master's degrees left and right, who are teachers, who work in nonprofit, who are social workers, and they make less than sometimes $50,000 a year, which if you're living in the DC metro area, really doesn't go far. And so it's not, you know, a shame game, it's not a blame game, but there needs to be more awareness out there for other opportunities because the truth is college isn't for everyone, but we all need to make a living. So what other opportunities can people pursue? The best way to talk about that, I find, is to tell them, this is how much you can make. This is what your work life can look like. So when I interview people, when I go on the street, I always try, we call them highlighters, and we'll see people who are wearing like the fluorescents and we just chase them down. Like I've chased down so many construction workers. I might be at a site where they say, avoid this girl with my face on it. Because I tell them there's no better person who can talk about the benefits of your job than you. The company, you know, there's always going to be some aspect that you have to take a grain of salt with how well a company talks about how good their jobs are. But if you talk to the workers themselves, you get the real story. You learn how did they get there? Did they transfer from a different career? How was that process? And at the end of the day, the people that view those videos are inspired because they see somebody who was able to transfer from a corporate job into a trade, or they see someone, a woman who was able to get into the trade and now has worked her way up. That's another bit. There's a lot of lack of representation of women in trades. And when I speak with women who are in corporate careers, you know, I can tell that trade work is something that is a little bit intimidating to them. It's a completely different work environment, traditionally male dominated. And so it's important for us with our content to show that there are women in these trades. These opportunities do exist and they love their jobs and they're there to support you within it as well. So overall, we're helping people to, and women especially, get into the trades. But the reason that we built our salary database and our job board was to fill in the blanks. You know, I do these interviews with people, but I can't be in Vegas at the same time that I'm in DC. And so there's so many people to interview. Every single person has a job, and that is information that could help others earn more or realize that they're underpaid. So we met them exactly where they were at, and we told them, hey, you know, maybe we can't interview you, maybe we can't be in your city, but if you want to share your pay transparently, you can do so at our, on our database. And not only that, you know, I'm not throwing shade or anything, because I used to partner with Indeed and Glassdoor. They're wonderful platforms, but I can speak as somebody who was in that predicament of being underpaid, that those tools only go so far to help you determine what your worth is or whether pay is good in the job listing that you're searching for. Because if you do not have transparency in the listing, or if there is a range, how do you know what is a good, you know, data point to choose within that range? So our database fills in those gaps by, instead of just searching, you know, how much does a data analyst make on Indeed, and it gives you back an average aggregated data point, our database is independently searchable. So you can literally search data analyst, and every single response for anybody who's a data analyst who has submitted their pay shows up. So you can go through all of these different data points and compare yourself according to your location, your years of experience, your degree, if you have different education, and also the company and industry, because those are all factors that are really important to determine whether or not you're fairly compensated. So that's what our database does. It fills in the gaps and it helps people really truly determine what their fair market rate is. And then the job board is kind of our response to Indeed and Glassdoor and these job boards. They're wonderful. I think transparency overall, if it's out there, I'm happy. You know, I'm not upset about it. But what we really need is mandatory transparency. I don't like searching for jobs where some listings have transparency, but some don't. It's not mandatory. So our database, our job board, is 100% transparent. We only list jobs that include the pay, and we work very hard in our algorithm to make sure that you're not seeing pay ranges of 0 to 2 million like that Citibank listing way back when. It's good transparency.
Yeah, there's some crazy listings I've seen out there.
Yeah, some companies have taken that fair market range quite literally.
Yeah, I could see the need for your database too, because I see on the chat CT, and I'm sure you see it on your channel, the biggest controversy in the comments is people like bashing how much I make in this state versus this state. It's like, okay, well, you're in Alabama versus New York City, and you're on two different levels of your career. Like it's you can't even compare them. Yeah. So that's always interesting to see those comments in the feed.
Yes, definitely. And it really validates, you know, the need for this information, because if you're just looking at the high level and you see somebody in New York making $50,000 more than you in Alabama, it's easy to have that knee-jerk reaction. But what we really need to do is educate people about what factors influence your pay and how to use that to make sure you're paid what you deserve where you're based.
So I really love and I value that your efforts are aimed at the employee and the prospective employee as this whole market of, I'll call them sellers, right? You know, they're selling their talents in exchange for you know, a salary plus bonuses for hourly rate or whatever. Have you spent any time with the buyers? Have you spent any time with the business owners, you know, with the, and if the answer is no, it's okay. I'm just wondering if you've spent any time.
Not on a construction side, but I did, this makes me cringe internally, but I did do for some reason, this organization invited me to speak to a business leaders event about transparency. And there were people in C-suite roles that worked at Google, like Meta, in that audience. And the only people from that audience that came to speak with me that valued what I had to say, or at least told it to my face, were leaders that worked in education. Everybody else that worked in like tech, they did not come to talk to me. I didn't see a lot of, you know, smiling, nodding heads while I was speaking. It was definitely a more frigid environment than I'm used to. But it shows, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And it's why I think I lean so much into representing workers and trying to give them a voice, because at the end of the day, we are the 99%. And if we demand things and we put our foot down and we tell them, you know, this is important to me, because hopefully that pressure can overcome whatever, you know, the C-suite is feeling.
So from a worker's perspective, then, how do you square the feeling, you know, what exactly what Stacey was talking about, that like from a, yeah, how should an employer, how do you want an employer to handle as a worker, a situation where you hold the exact same role with the exact same title and you just simply do your job objectively better than your peer in that same role and title? Should you be paid more? And how would you like the employer to handle that?
I would argue yes. I think it's always, there's no right or wrong answer, and there's no simple answer. There's a couple different ways that I would recommend, you know, this leader to move forward. But I would stress that if you don't pay workers what they feel they're worth, or, you know, what value they think that they're bringing to the company, they likely will leave, and it'll be more expensive for you to hire their replacement than to see this worker working for you currently, giving you their all and showing that you value them in some form, way, shape, or form, whether that's compensation, or you could have a conversation about benefits, you know, if there's something that you can adjust for health insurance, paid time off, a remote work, a hybrid policy. Sometimes these benefits can go way further than compensation. So I think that that's a conversation that the leader should have one-on-one with the worker. But if there are, you know, some, if there's any type of feeling from that worker that they are not being valued enough, that can really, like, it can snowball into a situation where that worker will end up leaving. It can snowball into drama in the workplace. So it's definitely not something that I would leave alone. I would face it head on and have a conversation with that worker about what do they value? Because if the system is set, you know, and you do not have the performance according to pay system, you just have it based on years, you know, and, and what role they're in.
Yeah.
That's a decision that you either have to be fully confident in and keep moving forward, or consider changing. If you want to keep it the way it is, then I would talk to the employee and be like, look, this is the system. Communicate it as effectively as you can. Answer any questions. Be upfront about that. Like, don't be secretive. Don't have somebody else do the meeting for you. Show them that you care and that you're listening. But, you know, if that's the system you don't want to change, communicate it and give other options. But this might be a situation where you want to look into performance-based pay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. And maybe even performance-based bonuses, right? Yep. That may be there a piece of it, right? Right, where, you know, person A receives no bonus and person B receives, you know, 20% of their salary.
There you go.
And that's a way to, you know, to recognize it. Overall, or advancement, right? You know, hey, you're so good, we're going to raise you up, and we're going to give you a promotion, and we're not going to give a promotion to, you know, to person B. Or, you know,
yeah, there's solutions. There's a bunch of options available to you. But if you don't choose any one of them, it's likely that employee will leave.
So I'm going to give you a scenario that I see playing out, and I don't know that there's a question in here, for the record.
Okay.
There's a scenario that I foresee playing out that I'm actually excited to see play out.
And, okay. And
if anybody who knows me well understands where I come from on this, is that I've seen over the years where, you know, the pay disparity is massive between people in the same role with the same title. And you know, when I've seen it, almost always, not always, but almost always, it's for a good damn reason. Like, that the person in this role is just so much worse than the person in this role, right? But if this person was forced to say, hey, you got project managers, you can't pay one $70,000 and one $120,000, you know, in a project manager range, you got to pay them all in this pay band of 100 to 120. And so now that person you're paying 70, you're going to pay 100. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to fire the people that aren't actually PMs. Thank God. That'll be the best thing ever. When these people who aren't actually carrying their weight in the job, but they keep on limping them along, they're just wimps. So they don't fire people who can't do the damn job. And those people need the feedback like, hey, you suck, fire, next. And so that they can go and get a job that they're better suited for, or they can work harder, or they can do whatever else. But I'm going to tell you something. If all of a sudden I'm forced to pay everybody in a pay band from 100 to 120, because that's what I've got to do to meet legal requirements, I'm going to start looking at the people below the line. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm not keeping those people. And I think that's ultimately good. Now those people are going to be unemployed. We'll figure it out. It's going to suck for those employees, but I think it's better for the economy to have people who are dead weight go away.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's really that bottom line thing of you got to make it work. And if you want to pay people fairly, sometimes you have to reorganize and reconstruct your team dynamic. It's not always an easy decision, but I do think it is important to make sure that if you are paying people what they are worth, you need to make sure that you're maximizing everybody on the team and maximizing, you know, that they are pulling their weight for what they are paid.
That's right.
You know, I would agree with that, but I do think that there needs to be a little bit more support, you know, for people that would be let go and hopefully reorganized somewhere else, restructured. But overall, I think a lot of people in America would confidently and I would say correctly say that they are underpaid just based on how expensive things are nowadays.
Yeah. So, and I totally, again, I appreciate that that is your perspective. You just have to also appreciate that I am on the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
We have to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. And I do think there's meeting in the middle that I'm like, I'm for your I personally, I'm always advising clients on transparency and I'm always suggesting like, look, it's just good for you. It's good for the business. And it does force you to make those hard decisions where instead of being like, yeah, but I like Billy. Billy's been here a long time. I pay Billy what Billy's worth, but he's no PM, right? Well, then either give Billy a demotion and put him in a role where he's actually appropriately paid or fire Billy, but stop limping or just agree that you're going to pay Billy to feel good about yourself at night. I don't care. Like that's okay too. But what you're talking about, I agree completely. We've got to be humane. There's no reason to, you know, you got to be kind and work through that with people. But I got to be clear, you're not entitled to a job. People are not entitled to a job. People have got to earn a job. They have got to keep a job. And just because stuff is expensive doesn't mean that I ought to be paying you more. It you better get skill up. Make sure that you're better. Be worth more. So, you know, there's a meet in the middle here that I'm like, you know, if you're only qualified to do X, I can't pay you Y.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a meeting in the middle. And I agree, you know, people are not entitled to their jobs. You have to work for it. You have to keep it. But at the same time, that mentality from business leaders is also why the mentality from workers is I don't owe loyalty to you. If you, you know, look at your employees as though you have to work for this job and you have to show up every day to prove it, the employee is also just as, in my mind, able to say and should be able to say, I'm clocking out at 5. You only pay me for 9 to 5. I'm not working a second over that. And I'm only giving you what is exactly in my job description. If you ask for anything outside of that, we can negotiate, you know, a raise to match this new responsibility to my job description. But, you know, that mentality also works both ways. And I worry that on both sides, meeting in the middle will mean less collaboration and a little bit more, you know, pointing fingers. But I think if we all kind of work together to understand that we are a team, especially in a company, you know, then the right companies hopefully will fuel positive discourse and collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that a lot. It's in our industry, I guess it would be like scope creep, or I don't know how you would word it for like an employee role, but you sign on with a certain job description. And then as you're, you know, as you're there for a couple of years, they keep adding stuff on you and not paying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
Well,
you
so
I be think, paid I, for it.
I think one of the things that, that is just true about a lot of aspects of our, of, a lot of sectors in our economy, and it's certainly true about construction, is that the average construction company is quite a small business, and small businesses are by nature a little bit messy that way. It's not like I can bring you, you're not starting a job at, you know, IBM, where I can say, you know, everybody here has, we have 1,000 people with this role and 1,000 people with this role. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the construction companies, Stacey, that you and I work with, you know, they might only have one PM, you know, or whatever, you know, they did at one point, you know, but in their time, or they may have, you know, two estimators, you know, or something like that. So who's going to kind of do the bid coordinating portion of the estimating? Oh, well, you need to hire somebody for that. Well, I can't. So I, shall I fire you because you're not willing to do it?
And yeah, these are that the, happens a lot because
these are the very real
businesses
quest-
or small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until they,
And all I'm saying is, you know, that there's in this two-way street that we're talking about. I think the more transparent the employer can be about the fact that, like, you know, hey, we're a small shop. What that comes with some benefits. We act like a family. We're really cool. Everybody's fun and friendly and all that kind of stuff. Comes with some drawbacks. We're growing, and sometimes you're going to have to take on more workload in this role than is technically in your, you know, job description. And I think if I can be, you know, candid about that up front, then we minimize this, you know, kind of heartache that, you know, this scope creep and stuff like that. And I think it's totally reasonable, Stacey, that a person, as the company is growing, takes on more and more responsibilities and isn't being paid more, that they raise their hand and say, like, hey,
yeah, definitely,
this is stuff that I'm doing and I should be paid for these things. And that, and I think that, like, it, there's a question of did it happen, or is it consistently happening? That would gauge that. Sorry, I'm all fired up. You got
no.
Me.
I totally agree.
A great topic.
Yeah, I could talk about this for hours, honestly.
It's great.
Yeah, no, but I totally agree. Like, especially with small businesses, like you said, you can get over any humps with communication. A lot of times, you know, these issues occur where people go on LinkedIn and call out their company because there wasn't good communication. You know, somebody gets a ball dropped on them and then it's like, that's unfair. And your immediate reaction is anger, especially with the times where people are stressed. The best thing you can do as an owner is communicate with your employees what you're going through as a small business owner, what your challenges are, and give them that other side. Let them see what that looks like, communicate it effectively, and you'll get that sympathy, hopefully, that you're looking for.
Well, at the very least, you set yourself up for a shot. On the other end of it, you just have people who are experiencing weirdness and judging you for it.
yeah,
you know, and they're like, I don't know why, but this person won't like acknowledge that I'm doing extra work, and it's getting, you know, it's
but if you never talk to that person, then yeah, of course, like, they don't know who you are.
Let's err on the side of sharing exactly what's going on, you know.
Yeah,
and I think
that's a good
rule. So Hannah, thank you so much for being with us this morning. This is a great conversation. How can our audience connect in with what you have going on?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a fun conversation. Happy to come back anytime if there's movement in the construction space.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to find me, we're on Salary Transparent Street at Salary Transparent Street on all social platforms, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Threads. So any of those platforms is your preferred place. Come find us.
That is outstanding. Well, Stacey, any final words?
No, just I'm so happy I found your channel, and I'm so proud that you're, you know, talking about the trades and interviewing all different types of trade workers and highlighting their careers. I truly appreciate that. And I know our industry does too. So keep it up.
Thanks for keeping me in the loop. I appreciate it. You're always letting me know where the events are. So I wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
without you.
Happy to do that and make any introductions that you need for expos or get the interviews that you need locally, especially because you're in DC, we're in Maryland.
Yeah, so we got to collaborate. No, I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
No problem. All right. Have a great one.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Stacey, that was awesome. Thank you so much for bringing her to the show.
Yeah, great conversation. Very much needed.
I think any environment where you know, it's always good to have a highly educated buying and selling contingent in any market. And so when we talk about, you know, employees, the potential employees being highly educated about what they're worth and employers being highly educated, you know, about what people ought to be paid. I think there's a shared value for what Hannah's doing, right?
Yeah, people just feel in general so uncomfortable when it comes to money, and we have to get better at that, better at talking about it.
Yeah, money's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, am I allowed to ask for this? Yeah,
I know. But they always say if you don't ask, it's definitely a no. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? I mean, that's right. You got to ask. And you know, I think we could have a whole other episode on like how to ask for a raise. There's a right way and wrong way. I can tell you that.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
So next week we have Jennifer Wilkinson joining us from NCCER to talk about NCCER credits and then some initiative called In Her Own Words for Women in Construction Week.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that'll be a good one.
Jennifer's that will great. Be a good one. You're telling me I've got that ball by myself?
Yes. Sorry if you missed that one, but I got invited to a woman speaking panel event, and I cannot miss it because it is from one of our sponsors, Genesis.
I get it. All right. Well, no, I look forward to having Jennifer on the show, and she's awesome. So that'll be great.
Yeah.
All right.
Good luck on at ABC.
Yeah. Hopefully the voice holds up, man. I gotta drink a lot of tea.
Yeah, definitely. And cough drops.
All right. Yeah, see ya.